This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, it's What's On Your Mind. Welcome back. Hour number two. Numbers to call, 701-258-0550, 800-228-0550. You can always call the Oasis Petroleum Be the Buffalo Hotline. That's 800-200-1776. I'm sorry, 888-200-1776, extension 1. The Oasis Petroleum Be the Buffalo Hotline. It's just like the buffalo running into the storm, not away. More at oasispetroleum.com. Jason Bohr in for hour number two. Scott Henneman on What's On Your Mind. Good to have you here, buddy.
It's great to be here. This second hour, we're going to talk a little bit about emerging markets and other opportunities for coal. But I got a couple texts that I want to talk about first. And so, Mike, we might not get to you right away, but because I want to talk about the economics of lignite coal. And it really follows Steve Van Dyke's conversations, because somebody asked, what's the average break-even price for profitability in the lignite markets? I also got a text about, does renewable energy cut into the volume of coal or just the profit investment? So here's the interesting thing about lignite coal, because what you always hear from people is, oh, it's not renewables cutting into coal's market share. It's natural gas. And the fact is, that might be true on a national scale, but lignite coal, because of those benefits that Steve was talking about, is cheaper than natural gas under many circumstances, maybe most circumstances. So the average dispatchable cost of North Dakota's lignite plants is $25 an hour. So take a stab of your break-even price to the texter. Natural gas is generally around $33 per megawatt hour. So no, natural gas is not the primary driver of North Dakota's North Dakota's challenges. It contributes because you're always competing in these marketplaces, and we compete in a very broad marketplace. But North Dakota's lignite plants are very competitive. They're as competitive as most nuclear. So the economics of lignite is really different from the economics of other places. But here's the kicker is lignite coal does not compete in a free market regardless of the price. Electricity is not a free market. And that's where people really get challenged because most of your economics understanding comes from free markets. And, hey, coal is energy. Gas is energy. So you start wondering, the price of gas at the pump fluctuates, and when one station drops their prices, other stations drop their prices. But lignite coal, electricity is not a free market.
And I got a text there, Jason. Yeah. I got a text there. On that note, I just question. It said, texter Nate said, lignite coal or brown coal has 60 to 7% carbon. It's considered the lowest rank of coal due to its relatively low heat content. Is it anthracite? Coal is the good stuff. 86 to 97% has its highest heating value of all ranks of coal. I didn't realize that there were different rankings or different quality of coal, I guess, is that point of that, I guess.
Yeah, there are, and it has to do with the geologic age. You're sitting having this coal under the ground, and the longer it sits, the harder it gets, the more heat that is compressed into that coal. So anthracite coal is a very high hard-ranked coal or high-ranked hard coal, right? And it has a high heating content. Lignite coal has a lower heating content. It's more reactive. Okay. And so that, you don't really build power plants with anthracite coal. And lignite coal, that lower rank, allows us to do exactly the type of things that Mike Holmes is going to join us to talk about, because it makes it easier to do things like carbon capture or turn it into fertilizer like the Synfuels plant. So, Mike, perfect segue to you. Why does lignite's chemical composition lend itself to so many opportunities?
Yeah, Jason, how are you doing? And thanks for having me on. The lignite reactivity is key, and the economics, as you guys mentioned in the earlier segment, is related to the fact that we can get it at the mine and utilize it at the mine. So it's shallow. We can mine it easily and use it right there, avoid the transportation cost. It's very reactive, which helps applications like at Dakota Gas. And as we move, we have more and more products that we identify that can be made from lignite. And what surprises a lot of people is North Dakota is already making many of the products on the list that people in the on the federal side and technology developers are looking into. So it goes to that reactivity.
And one of the challenges of that reactivity is on the coal capture sequestration side, or the challenges of composition, because so much of the work was done for the more common types of coal, whether it was bituminous, sub-bituminous. Now we're trying to put carbon capture onto lignite plants with its different chemical compositions. You've been key in that work. Tell us about the future of coal as it relates to carbon capture, the work that Project Tundra has done in overcoming those technical challenges related to lignite-specific composition.
Yeah, this ties into what you and Steve were talking about earlier. We referenced the incredible workforce that we have in North Dakota, and it's true that North Dakotans will outwork any expectation. But what people might be more surprised by is how long of a history we have in this region, in this state, of innovating to address challenges and opportunities. And so we've got not only the great state industry partnership going, but we have technology developers that have been focusing on most recently what to do with the CO2. And so we have a tremendous opportunity and challenge at the same time. So as we look to do things with our coal-fired power plants to lower the carbon footprint, we also create an opportunity to use that CO2 for enhanced soil recovery. And if you look at tying that into what you were talking about the economic impact in jobs, we had a study done by a team of EERC and NDSU, the Energy and Environmental Research Center, and NDSU that showed that economic impact that you talked about for lignite could be doubled essentially and have more than twice as many jobs if you utilize that CO2 for enhanced oil recovery.
So you could create a new workforce, a new industry in North Dakota that was as big as the lignite industry.
Yep, absolutely.
All of those, again, going to be in high-paying jobs. What does that do to the carbon footprint of the oil, though, Mike? So we're worried about, you know, becoming more environmentally sensitive, whatever, for better or worse, but what does that do to the economic impact, or, I mean, the carbon footprint of that oil we're now bringing out of the ground?
Yeah, so if you compare that oil that's brought out of the ground locally, less transportation and using that CO2 to enhance that oil recovery and store it. If you look at that, they've done studies to show the comparison of that to oils from, you know, far away like Saudi Arabia and elsewhere. And it basically shows then you obtain a greener oil, if you want to associate it with that carbon footprint. So yeah, there's a side incentive there as well.
So basically, you're making the carbon footprint of the power plant drastically reduced, bringing that down possibly to near zero, and then you're also drastically improving the carbon footprint of that oil coming out of the ground. And it's ironic that once again North Dakota is leading the way in environmental sustainability. It shouldn't surprise people, though, because North Dakota led the country in coal reclamation laws. And, again, I go back to the comment that I made at the beginning of the show, which was North Dakota is a farming state. We are close to the land and have been, and that is reflected in many of the policies that we have implemented, and it's reflected in the technological leadership that we're demonstrating today. So why, you know, what is the challenge that remains for carbon capture on North Dakota power plants?
Yeah, so right now the main challenge is, you know, there's some of what you were alluding to earlier, Jason, that we're now taking technology and moving it to application for our coal. And for our coal in this region, we have different compositions, so we have to make sure that long-term use of the different solvents will not be negatively impacted with our coal composition. And so we're addressing those, and everything is moving in a very positive way. And then the other challenges, though, that can be a whole discussion alone ends up being the economics. And we are very, very strong in our progress on the technology front. And now the next challenge is sharpening the pencil on the economic front.
Great. We'll get to that, more of that and more after the break.
Are you moving soon? Go with a family-owned, veteran-owned company, and your move could be paid for. If you need a realtor to find you a home or sell your home, you might be able to move for free with Action Movers. Here's how it works. Fill out an easy form online, and a local realtor will call you within 24 hours. You sell your home and or buy a new home, and you then receive $5 in cash for every $1,000 in home purchase or sale price. And then you move with Action Movers and save money. ActionMovers.com has the details, or call 701-566-5532.
Keeping family traditions alive and keeping mom and dad safe at home is more important than ever. Northland Pace is here to help make that a reality. Northland Pace is fully open in all locations, including their new location in Fargo. Pace is a Medicare and Medicaid approved program that promotes living independently at home through the coordination of all health services. As your loved ones' needs change, their services are here to meet those needs. So keep them at home as long and as safely as possible. Visit northlandpace.com.
Nearly 4,000 people work at the lignite mines and power plants in North Dakota. They are your neighbors, your relatives, your friends, and they produce the affordable and reliable electricity that keeps the lights on 24/7.
The coal industry, that's what got me here.
My job at the coal mine was a blessing. Almost everyone who lives in town is either in the coal industry or they're related to someone in the coal industry. Really, this community's heart and soul is in the coal industry.
It's the work that keeps you coming back, you know. There's not too many people in the world that get to do what we do. I'm Lee.
I'm Kate. I'm a heavy equipment operator.
I work at B&I Coal in Center, North Dakota.
And I am Lignite.
Meet these workers and others by going to www.iamlignite.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Welcome back. This is What's on Your Mind, brought to you by our friends at PetroServe USA, serving up great hot home cooking for lunch. Valley City hot beef sandwich or chicken pot pie from scratch today. Doing the meatball dinner in Harwood, West Main Avenue, West Fargo, chicken fettuccine, and taco grinders at 12th Avenue North. And Ulinda, Minnesota, Glendon, Minnesota, and NP Avenue in Fargo all doing the tater tot hot dish today. Plus, it's Double Stamp Tuesday. Get your Lucky 7 Club card stamped twice today at all PetroServe USA locations. Proud sponsors of What's on Your Mind. We're talking Lignite today. Scotty's back tomorrow. from the southern border down to McAllen, down in Texas with Tommy Fisher. We can go to our websites, different radio station websites. I know the Fargo site, AM1100, theflag.com. Scotty's Facebook page, he's got some videos up from some people and different stuff he talked to. I'm sure he'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow. Today we're talking late night, though, and Jason Bohr's in for Scotty on What's on Your Mind.
And it's great to be here, talking about with Mike Holmes about the next great chapter in North Dakota's coal industry. Carbon capture, what that might mean, is another huge influx of jobs, economic impact over the next several decades, if we can make it work. And Mike is talking about the challenges to making it work. What is next on that list of challenges, Mike?
Yeah, so we talked about the great opportunity, extend the oil play, and basically, as Lynn Helms put it, five-generation oil plays. A lot of opportunity, but the challenges we face now that we're looking strong on the technical front become more on the finance side. What's your interest rate on your loan? What's the insurance rate? And that's been more and more challenging, and policy becomes very important, because a little tweak here or there on policy or interest rate or insurance rates. And so that's why I'd put that question back your direction, Jason, because
yeah.
That becomes a very important aspect of making this happen.
Yeah. Well, you're right, because we've really solved, and I hate to use that word solved because it's definitive, but we have achieved a high degree of certainty regarding the technology. The technology is no longer the risk that it once was on our lignites. Now you got to make the numbers work. That can be a harder problem because utilities are used to economic certainty. You build a plant, the PSC gives you a rate of return, or your board of directors approves that, and you're dealing with hydropower plants, coal mines and power plants, and those things are very well known. You're asking them, and then you're asking bankers and financiers to move into a degree of uncertainty financing a project they don't know that much about, that doesn't have a long history. We are working with our policy leaders to provide mechanisms of certainty for those investments, to make them less risky, and at the same time painting a picture of what this could accomplish for our policymakers to provide those incentives to say, hey, you could really build something new and amazing in North Dakota with these incentives. So, you know, we've been talking about the economics of saying selling a product into the marketplaces and how challenging that has begun. Our utilities have been selling electricity. That's not the only thing they could sell, as demonstrated by the Synfuels plant. But you can't, you've got other opportunities for things to sell as well, in rare earth minerals that we're beginning to learn a little bit more about, Mike. And what are some of those opportunities? But where do those rare earth elements exist, and how do we get them out of coal? And what are the opportunities there for us?
Yeah, Jason, thanks for that question. And again, it builds on a history of success of innovating in North Dakota. I mean, you mentioned DGC, the Synfuels plant. I mean, they're producing ammonia, ammonium sulfate, and urea, three types of fertilizers, all types of chemicals for different applications, food processing, pharmaceuticals, and the petroleum for additives for gasoline. And so now we're looking very heavily at rare earth elements and where they exist. One good source is the coal in North Dakota. We've been very active in our lignite research program of funding projects that are getting very strong leveraging on the federal level. So the DOE and other federal pushes are going for supplying rare earth elements, and the driving force is a huge market growth in rare earth elements. And as the USGS stated this year, the U.S. is essentially 100% reliant on our rare earth elements from import, mostly China. And so basically the quick punchline is rare earth elements and critical minerals are components for a much bigger industry of products that you can make, and you only need small amounts of them. And back to the source, we have North Dakota lignite that, again, is reactive, and it holds those rare earth elements in small quantities lightly, but those small quantities are worth a lot of money.
So these rare earth elements are needles on a Christmas tree, an old Christmas tree where you can shake that lignite coal and shake those rare earth elements loose pretty easily. We got a caller on the line, Ryan from Aberdeen, South Dakota, that I'd like to go to and see where he's coming from. Ryan.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, fellas. I just heard you talking just a minute ago about the stability and lack of risk that has traditionally been in the energy sector. But I wonder if maybe it's that stability that has contributed to the stagnation, the technological stagnation in that sector. And could that be part of the reason why there has been so little technological advancement on the energy grid, in particular over the last 100 years or so?
Yeah, Ryan, you are talking about the other side of the free market equation. Free markets drive innovation, they drive profits, and because electricity does not exist in a free market, not only do the utilities not get some of those high profits and high opportunities for profits that you see like in the high-tech industry, but they don't have that need to relentlessly pursue innovation that results in profits. They always are seeking innovation that results in better, environmental footprints or those things, but because it's not a free market, the innovation or that free market driven innovation comes from other places, and they have to have visionary boards of directors and investors and all those things, which we have in North Dakota that we don't have in some other places. But yeah, I think your question gets back to, what are free markets good at? They're good at efficiency. They're good at innovation in search of profits. But what we see here in the electricity industry is, if you innovate, but the federal government squashes you anyway, or if you innovate and the PSC doesn't accept your innovation as worthy of rate of return, or you innovate but your board of directors is risk averse, then you don't get the benefit of that innovation in your bottom line. It is a matter of the free markets. They don't operate as we're used to them operating in the electric industry. It is the single most difficult thing to understand and get good at understanding about the electricity industry. We'll talk more after the break.
701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. What's your mind? More on the way.
The University of Mary is grateful for the healthcare workers and teachers that take care of our community in times of crisis. That's why we are offering all teachers and healthcare workers a thank you scholarship valued at the tuition cost of your first class. Don't delay. Deposit by April 30th to receive your first class free. Visit online.umary.edu and use the code SCOTT to waive your application fee.
Hi, this is Kevin Pfeiffer with Pfeiffer's Auction Company. Pfeiffer's upcoming March 2021 auctions include land auctions in the following North Dakota counties: 1,000 acres of crop and pasture land in Oliver County, 700 acres of exceptional cropland and trail in Grand Forks County, 308 acres of productive cropland in Lemoore County, 480 acres of excellent crop and pasture land in Kidder County, and 606 acres of highly productive corn and soybean land in Clay County, Minnesota. View all of these Pfeiffer's land auctions and many more at Pfeiffer's.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
10 people were killed, including a police officer, in a mass shooting at a grocery store in Boulder, Colorado on Monday. Boulder police were called to King Supers just before 3 p.m. local time after reports of shots fired. A suspect has been arrested. Police plan to hold another press conference Tuesday morning as the investigation remains ongoing. Miami Beach, Florida extends curfew as police chief says partying couldn't go on any longer, pointing to over 1,000 arrests in one of the nation's top party spots. Miami Beach officials warned Sunday that the unruly spring break gathering by the thousands, fighting in the streets, destroying restaurant property, and refusing to wear masks has become a serious threat to public safety. DoorDash announced Monday that it will begin facilitating same-day delivery of COVID-19 test collection kits across the United States. Consumers will now be able to access two COVID-19 home collection kits that received FDA emergency use authorization on-demand delivery from DoorDash's DashMart locations across the nation. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Brought to you by our friends at H.A. Thompson and Sons. HATandSons.com is the website. Of course, we're talking anything to do with commercial, residential. With the air quality issues that are going on now, what can you do to help prevent coronavirus, other airborne viruses from spreading in your home or business? Talk to the crew at H.A.T. and Sons. H.A. Thompson and Sons. Of course, commercial, anything to do with heating, plumbing, electrical, and of course, they get you free estimates too on anything you need. HATandSons.com, HATandSons.com, or give them a call, the number 701-223-3393. Corporate headquarters in Bismarck at 911 South 9th Street. Tell them the What's on Your Mind crew sent you. H.A. Thompson and Sons. We're talking Lignite today. Jason Bohr in for Scotty Hennon. What's on your mind?
And it is great to be here. Thanks for having me as host. We're talking about the history of innovation in North Dakota, free markets, what they do in electricity markets, what they do in other markets, how that is different. And interestingly enough, North Dakota's history of research and development-driven innovation is as good as it gets in the electricity industry. The free market pressures that drive the other industries forward are driven forward in North Dakota by a partnership between our state, the industry, our research and development apparatus, and that's led to billions of dollars over the past 10 years in research and development-driven applications and investments for our coal mines and power plants. It's amazing the dedication that we have in North Dakota to that innovation, research and development, and our electric utilities and coal mines are the best in the world because of that. Mike Holmes was with us talking about that history of innovation as we pursue these rare earth elements and other critical minerals that are associated with our lignite mines and one other opportunity to continue to add value. Because in electricity or in the utility industry, you're making money when you're selling electricity. We've learned that you can make money by selling other things like natural gas or fertilizers when you break down that lignite coal at the Synfuels plant. Maybe you can add a new revenue stream on the rare earth elements or critical minerals. But one of the other things we're doing is trying to increase demand, increase efficiencies for people's lives by studying and developing policies that would support electric vehicles. And the coal industry supports these electric vehicles because they're using electricity, giving people more options in their transportation world. We've got Scott Meskey on as guest, who is associated with the Drive Electric ND program. This is an association that promotes policies. Scott, tell us about Drive Electric ND.
Hey, thanks very much, Jason, for having me on today. I really appreciate it. Yeah, Drive Electric Indy, we started a couple of years ago, and as Jason said, to support the lignite industry, because when you plug your electric vehicle in, you're getting electricity from our lignite industry, which is great here in North Dakota. We're fortunate to have such reliable, affordable energy sources, especially through our lignite energy industry. But Drive Electric Indy, we're a collaboration of groups, citizens, businesses, utilities, and other stakeholders who support electric vehicle usage in North Dakota using locally sourced energy. And so we've been increasing the brand awareness. We've been educating people about electric vehicles. We've conducted a couple of statewide surveys, published a report, and just trying to be a resource for citizens who are interested in electric vehicles.
Talking about that, you know, the electric vehicles, domestically sourced electricity, this isn't just about lignite. This is a coalition that really is source agnostic. What is the electricity mix in North Dakota, and why does that matter?
Sure. Well, the electricity mix here in North Dakota is almost 65% of our electricity comes from the coal industry, and the rest is split up between wind, solar, natural gas, a little bit of hydro in there. So it truly is an all-of-the-above resource. Energy in North Dakota comes from abundant resources. We do have abundant wind, and we have abundant lignite, and we have abundant gas. So we're really fortunate, and not any other states are like that. They depend on usually heavy in one side or the other.
Right. So and my perspective on the lignite industry is, hey, demand goes up. That's great. Even if we're not getting all of that increased demand, it's good for us, but it's also good for the state because the state is continuing to produce its resources. So, yeah, I just wanted to interject there, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we just like to educate and communicate, and we also just want to make sure that we have fair and equitable policies here at the state capitol and make sure that we're not hindering growth. And I think, Jason, one of the things that people have this idea is that it's either one or the other, and we're really focused on telling people electric vehicles is just a new way to drive. It might not work for everybody, but it might work if you look a little bit deeper into your driving habits.
Yeah, and you and I know we've taken our Tesla out a couple times and driven around the state, and there are some applications where it is truly amazing, where you'd never ever want to go back. I hooked my boat up to the Tesla, right? And the boat is 20-foot long Sea-Doo jet boat, right? And you could go 0 to 60 pulling a boat in that Tesla faster than you could go 0 to 60 in, like, a Mustang. It's amazing how much torque and power that thing has. On the flip side, pulling that boat up Lake Nelson, where I always water ski, thanks to Minn Kota Power Plant, it took about two-thirds of my electricity to pull up there. So, right, pulling that heavy boat, it really decreased the power. So it is a new way to drive, but it's not for every application. But what are some applications that it's good at, Scott?
Well, absolutely. Well, we think, 90% of Americans drive less than 100 miles per day. And that's really, I mean, you're looking now at ranges. These new vehicles that are coming out have ranges of anywhere from 250 to, you know, upwards of almost 350 miles on one full charge. And so, the battery range issue is being addressed by manufacturers, and with a myriad, including pickup trucks of all of these new vehicles coming out, you can get a small one, you can get a medium one, you can get a pickup truck pretty soon. So we really think there is going to be an application here in North Dakota more and more.
Even today,
thing is the big thing. Yeah,
you know, if you had a long range car today, you could drive an electric vehicle around town. How much, Scott, could you drive? Yeah. You know, I mean, how many miles a day do you drive on an average day?
Well, I've actually been keeping track this month, and right now in 2 weeks I've driven 200 miles total in 2 weeks.
So electric. So. If you had an electric vehicle, you know, you'd have to charge it a little bit, but you would have saved who knows how much, not a ton of money on gas, like not new car gas, but it would have been nice to have some extra cash in your pocket.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And there's no maintenance on these vehicles. So your maintenance fees, there's no oil changes, things like that that you spend on your combustion engine car, that goes down tremendously. So you are saving, and we've done estimates. There's approximately about half of what you would spend in a normal year under normal driving circumstances. I think the biggest thing is that there's going to be more vehicles available. There are now, but as these come online, manufacturers are going to have more, and our dealers are going to have more available, and people are really going to start to look at this as a driving option.
Yeah, and that's where it really comes into play, is that when it's not neat anymore, when it's not new anymore, then people can evaluate and say, this is going to work for me, this is going to work for me, this won't work for me. And they'll pick a car that's powered by gas, by diesel, by electric, maybe even hydrogen in there at some point if Toyota continues their development. But it won't be about choosing what you like because it's new or neat. It'll be choosing what works for you. And I think electric is going to work for more people than they think. But there's also going to be a place for gasoline vehicles for a long time because they have applications that, especially in North Dakota, I don't think are going to go away when it's 40 below. The best battery technology is going to struggle when it's 40 below, getting you from Grand Forks to Dickinson in a reasonable amount of time. So there's just some things that gas is always going to be better at.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we don't think it's better or worse. It's just a new way to drive. And if you evaluate your driving habits, take a look. And now that our charging infrastructure has become actually usable in this state, remember 2019, this National Energy Report came out, and we were called an EV desert because we had almost no charging infrastructure. Well, now we have almost 60 level 2 chargers, 32 Tesla superchargers, and there's 17 more level 3 chargers planned throughout the state, and probably more on the way. Communities are starting to look at, hey, this is something we can do to attract travelers and also to attract our hometown people to use electric vehicles. We're definitely growing.
So charging these things, you're talking about charging them as you're driving through the state. When you charge them at home, and again, this gets back to why an electric utility might be interested, most of the people are going to charge these at home because you're not traveling through the state. You plug these in, it plugs into, you know, if you had a welder, a dryer, that's the outlet that you need at home. But what does that do to the electric utilities usage when all these folks come and plug in at night?
Right, Jason. Well, I think that's one of the things that everybody's working through right now. I think we have several of our electric cooperatives and utilities in the state that are being very progressive about that, and then helping consumers install chargers in their home, these level 2 chargers. They will meter them separately, and when you plug them in at night, you basically even out the load throughout the day. And, you know, demand goes up during the day and it goes down at night, and by plugging these in at night, you continue to even out the load throughout the service territory. So almost every single EV owner I've ever met has a charging station, a level 2 charger in their home. And so that really does help the utility in the long run.
Yeah, and it's an example where I think it benefits everybody, because a lot of times the coal power plants, when they're operating at night and the wind is blowing, the wind is going into the marketplace first. And so these EVs, if they're plugged in, if you got 1,000 EVs plugged in a community and the wind is blowing, the wind can kind of be soaked up by these EVs. The coal plant can continue to operate, providing that resilient baseload electricity. It doesn't have to cycle down at night, which is poor for maintenance. So, you
right.
know, the wind producers, they win anyway, right? Because they've got benefits in the marketplace. But the coal wins because that wind industry has been soaked up by new demand, and they can continue operating, doing what they do best, is 24/7 resilient, reliable power. So, you know, one thing, what are we learning? Have we learned anything about the batteries on cars? Well, we can cover that after the break, Scott. But I want to cover that because I think what we're learning about batteries is it's actually more optimistic than what we thought it might be. The battery technology is probably a little better than we thought. So there's some things to cover after the break, and then we'll conclude the show, Scott. Thanks.
701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550, or text 701-226-8503. More What's in Your Mind is on the way next.
Hey, Fargo Moorhead, you can stop paying rents right now. People's Home Equity Mortgage can help you get into a new home. So what are you waiting for?
You may be surprised at how much you can afford, and it might be less than you are paying in rent. Contact me, Joel Fisher, NMLS number 1552467 at 701-204-6214 at 701-204-6214 or visit us at peopleshomeequity.com. People's Home Equity, where great people deserve great advice.
You don't need an illness to need a doctor. You don't need to feel sick to feel better. You don't need to be unwell to get well. What you do need is a primary care physician or provider at Sanford Health. Better health care starts with regular wellness visits and a familiar face who knows you, your concerns, and your goals. We're here before you need us. We're here when you need us. We're here after you need us. We're here for you. Find your primary care physician or provider at sanfordhealth.org today.
Let's ask Brock Walker from Blue Flint Ethanol Plant in Underwood. He's an electrical instrument technician. A little bit about the question of ag and energy coming together. What do you think you're in? Which one?
I would think we're in both. I mean, we are, providing a place for local farmers to bring their corn that they grow, and they can locally bring it to our facility. As we receive most of our corn from local farmers that truck their corn to the plant to sell. So definitely part of the ag industry in that respect, but the energy industry, we're trying to, create energy independence here, North Dakota, so we can use the corn we grow here and create a fuel that we can use right here in the state and other places. So I'd say we're in both the energy and ag industry.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org. ndethanol.org.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What's on your mind is powered by Schwann's Deere and GMC.com. See it, reserve it. GMC Hummer EV SUV. Those are talking electric vehicles on 4/3/21. The unveil starts to happen, so get signed up. And you can shop, click, drive, and find your next ride at SchwannBuickGMC.com. Jason Borzen for Scott Hennon on What's in Your Mind.
We're even going to have electric Hummers some point in the near future. One of the questions that came in is about battery usage. And I think it's a great question because we're learning more and more about batteries that the answer seems to be more optimistic than we maybe originally thought. Scott, what happens when batteries go bad? How long does that take?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I do think, Jason, you're right. Battery technology, battery research, that is, there's so much money and effort being poured into that. But right now, we look at a 10 to 15 year cycle on a battery, and what happens at the end? I mean, anywhere from 500,000 plus miles out of one battery before you really need to look to replace or whatever. What happens, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to start recycling those batteries for other usage. And yeah, eventually those batteries are going to come to the end of their life, where they have to be disposed of. And I still think the jury is out on that, exactly how that's going to shape up. But again, for everything that I've heard and read, there is so much money being poured into that answer. I'm much more optimistic. Again, I can't remember the last time I drove a car 500,000 miles before I changed it out. So, yeah, we're quite a ways out in that.
Yeah, there's always going to be an end of life. But you can drive a car. You know, we know you can have 50-year-old cars repairing the engine and whatnot. How's that work on an electric vehicle? It's probably not going to work the same way. Does the battery work that long? It's going to need to be replaced, swapped out. But 500,000 million miles on a car that needs little maintenance, probably not zero maintenance, but little maintenance, it's going to be, you know, continue to learn more about those things. And, you know, the cold weather probably does detrimentally impact that battery. Again, one of the things that we continue to learn about, and tying that back into Mike Holmes's segment, the batteries and electric vehicles in general require these rare earth elements and critical minerals. So the picture for coal is positive if, as someone texted, the political environment allows the coal industry to be a successful partner in this stuff. And that is an open question. We've got opportunities. We've made opportunities for ourselves in these industries, but can you get there if we continue to make progress on rare earth elements or critical minerals, for instance? Are the policies going to allow these domestic sources to flourish when it requires new mines, new permits, or are the policymakers in Washington, D.C. going to be content with just saying, oh, let's continue to work with the Chinese and others, let's trust them that they're going to give us these minerals? I don't know the answer to that question, because it is an open question on do policymakers want to go through the work that is necessary to make these happen, or are they going to just shut the door on us and make all this work moot, so to speak? We got a caller on the line from Ray Newtown. If you can make it quick, we can get your call in.
Yes, a little story about, we used to have a coal yard in Granville quite a few years. We hauled lignite and subituminous coal out of the Decker mine installed by Sheridan, Wyoming. I had a friend in Carlisle that wanted to try that subituminous lump coal for a shop. And so we took some down to him, and the next season he wanted to try it. He wanted to support, so we took some more down there, and he asked me if I wanted a beer afterwards. And I said, sure. So he went into the local bar in college and had a beer, and he was telling the bartender about how good that coal was he liked. He said, I heated my shop all winter, and I only took a 5-gallon pail of ashes out. And the bartender looked at me, and he said, yeah, I believe that. He said his wife carried the rest of them.
Well, that is so the way it works sometimes.
That's right. So anyway, it's probably a little bit less ashes, but it all goes up much less.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things we learned.
I got one other short one.
Yeah.
My dad used to haul coal out of Velma Woods. I was a little kid down when my older brother was with him. And the Indians, the name was down there, they'd dig into the side hills in the coal vein, and they'd have a little wagon that they'd had a horse, and they'd back the horse, and then they'd chop the coal out in the wagon, and then he'd come out, and they'd shovel it onto the farm truck. And my brother was with him quite a few times, and he went down there one time, and it was late or early in the fall, and it was raining. And they were inside, and loading up that wagon, and they pulled out, and it was raining, and my brother said, that horse is white. it was black all through. Every time he'd been down there, it was a black horse, and the rain washed the pulse it off. So,
well, Ray, what you're talking about, as we got to conclude the show, is the history of coal in North Dakota in this region goes back to the folks who originally lived here. The Native Americans have been using coal for a long time, and you talk about the color of that coal, the ash that's been hauled out. That is the type of things where our innovation has improved so much. You no longer have those types of things happening, but you still have the beneficial use that supported your family, that supported the natives who are making heat and valuable byproducts out of this coal, but doing it cleaner than ever. You don't have the ash.
I agree.
You don't have the black horse.
100%.
So I appreciate your call, Ray. And I just appreciate the opportunity to come in here and to the studio and host, talk about lignite coal. Appreciate our callers and everybody, and appreciate the coal mine.
Luke's on a phone from Razor's Edge Directional Drilling, taking a break from fencing to tell us about the perfect time right now to get some projects done. Luke, how you doing?
Hey, Scott, doing real well today.
So tell us what Razor's Edge Directional Drilling does better than anybody else.
We come in and we get it done no matter what the project is, whether it's big or small. You know, we do everything from 1-inch water lines. We do power, telecom work. We dig stock dams, remove old tree rows. Anything you guys can imagine in the dirt or that needs drilled, we'll get it done.
And to have a septic tank project in the middle of that beautiful lake place of yours, it's kind of nice to have that horizontal directional drilling, because I'm hardly going to know you've been there, right, Luke?
That's correct, Scott. Yep. We'll come in, do anything we need to do with the drill, basically a start hole and an exit hole, little to no subsurface damage.
Trenchless pipe bursting service, pipe replacement, repair, horizontal directional drilling. They do it better than anybody. Call them 701-934-1134 or online at reddrilling.com. Thanks, Luke.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.